right, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast, the official podcast of Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We're going to tell you what's going on this week at the Comedy Castle. I had a great talk with our headliner, Mike Stanley. We'll play that for you in just a couple of seconds here. But let's start on Wednesday, the 4th of December, the Advanced Comedy Class Showcase. That is my students from the Advanced Comedy Class. They're going to make you laugh. I got a whole bunch of great guests on this show. And what's even more special than normal with the Advanced Comedy Class is that I am going to be your host. That's right. Joel Fragomeni, the host of this show. I am going to be hosting these students that I've been teaching for the last 6 weeks. And I got a million special guests on this show as well. Abby Weitengruber from Bay City's coming down. She won Detroit to LA a few years ago. I've got Melanie Hearn, she being from Channel 4 is Live in the D in Detroit. You'll see her on there pretty regularly. She is going to do a little special guest set for us. She's a former student. All these people are former students that I'm about to mention here. And her current students, Big Dooley, my current student, Autumn Davis, Kate St. John is really a funny lady who's been performing everywhere. And it was a pleasure to teach her. And it's going to be a great show. I got one or two acts that I can't even put on the flyer, that I can't even tell you about. If you come out tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., again, get your tickets on comedycastle.com. It's going to be a fun night. I'm going to make it fun. I swear. I'm going to be your host. I'm going to introduce everybody and say, let's get these guys going. Let's warm them up. Let's get some laughs. We go out there. We rock the mic for a few minutes. Bring up the guests. Students close it out. That's what I do. I have the students close it out. I get these people. I say, you want a guest on the Advanced Comedy Class Showcase? They go, sure. So I'm closing it. I go, no, you're opening it, or you're warming them up for the students. That's how these work. It's going to be a great time at the Advanced Comedy Class Showcase. And then Mike Stanley comes to town starting on Thursday, December 5th at 7:30 p.m. And then we got shows Friday at 7:15 and 9:45. That's December 6th and December 7th, Saturday night at 7 p.m. and 9:30. Mike Stanley, good openers this week. And Duke is emceeing, and Nick Leidorf, your feature act, two of my favorite people. And yeah, it's going to be a great show. We'll talk to Mike in a minute. I'll talk more about that. But yeah, those are our shows. Come on out, guys. And then there's you'll hear in our interview, there's a private show with Mike. But I don't know. That one's those afternoon shows, man. I don't know. But again, private show. You guys aren't coming, but it is in the afternoon there. All right, let's talk about last week just for a hot second. Brian McCree was on the show. He did a great weekend. You know, that Thanksgiving weekend. Am I wrong to say that it just became winter? Thanksgiving happened, and the next day it was snow. It was cold. It was pretty nasty out there. So a hearty group made it out this past weekend at the Comedy Castle. I want to thank everybody that came out to see Brian, Tanya Murray, James Gregg. Fun shows, you know, and you'll hear in the interview with Mike, you know, when you don't have that Thursday show as a comic, you know, are you really warmed up? When you hit that Friday night, you got to be warmed up from Thursday. But, you know, you didn't have that Thursday, so it was right into the fire, and everyone did a great job. We had some real fun shows. I want to thank everybody for coming out. But this weekend with Mike Stanley is going to be great. You know, Mike is a guy who started in Michigan. You'll hear in the interview talking about the old days at Club Bart and a funny story that happened there. But then Mike went on the road, and he'll tell the story here. Went to Chicago, made a name for himself in Chicago. Went to L.A., didn't really enjoy L.A., went to Denver. Now he's in New York City. And you'll hear in this interview who he has to follow every night. It's wild. He's playing with some of the biggest names in the business, and it makes you good. You know, iron sharpens iron, they always say. So when you're playing with big names like that, it can make you good. It really can. You'll also hear him talk about how his act has changed over the years. We'll talk about getting older. And both had injuries lately. It's a real fun talk. I really enjoyed this one. Mike's a guy I've known really since he got started in comedy. So to have him headline the club is really cool this weekend. But let's just go to it. Let's go to Mike Stanley right now. We'll come back and talk a little bit. All right, guys, here's Mike. All Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to welcome Mike Stanley to the Comedy Castle podcast. How you doing, Mike?
Great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Joel. It's been a while, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When I interview, because I started hosting the show beginning of 23, because mm-hmm. Tom McCarthy hosted, and I go, well, I knew I hadn't interviewed you, but I'm like, you must have been on with Tom at some point.
And no, you were not. I don't think I've ever done the the Comedy Castle podcast.
Yeah,
so well, this is the first.
Well, you know, we're promoting the week, and it's always you know, I enjoy because there's sort of two kind of interviews that I'll do here. One mm-hmm. is like, I don't know who this person is. I have to do a ton of you know, background information
research, yeah,
and like,
sure.
Let me watch. I mean, there's a guy recently, I watched like 2-hour-long specials, you know, because I wanted to be good. Now, you have hour-long specials, but I've seen you almost from the beginnings of your comedy career. And so these I like because they're just talking to an old friend.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we've known each other since the jump. I mean, when you were hosting, you know, bars back in the day,
yeah.
That was pretty much the room I cut my teeth in here in yeah. Michigan. So, you know, you were there at the very yeah. first iteration of me trying to launch into this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been buds for a while.
Yeah, you know, and I have, I still look at the photos occasionally. You know, back then, the only photos, a lot of the photos from Club Bart are like not from phones.
I don't think any of them were. Any of us had the capability
yeah.
of even, you know, shooting photographs
yeah,
on our phone. So.
I got a digital camera. I still have it, a Canon digital camera that I did take pictures of. You know, there's a few nights, you know, of the Club Bart nights. There's like 3 of them that are documented. But you're in a lot of those, and they're so fun to look at now, dude.
I mean, even that was a big deal. If
yeah.
somebody had a digital camera back
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Know, most of us were grabbing those point-and-shoot, you know, disposables from CBS
yeah,
back
yeah.
then. And that's most of my photos that I had of that time, you know, in the beginning
yeah.
of stand-up. It's all these, you know, really terrible...
Yeah.
You know, they're hazy. You could still smoke
yeah.
in the bar. So every photo
yeah,
has
right,
just got
right.
this like haze glazed over it. So, yeah, I have a bunch of those, man. And it's funny, too, because like all the crew from back then, you know, I don't keep up with everybody, but
yeah.
we're still friends on social media. Every now and again, somebody will send me an old photo that they had
yeah.
from, you know, Club Art or Joey's
yeah.
or Ridley's or something from back in the day. And it's like, oh, man, like it's just crazy to see that stuff and just how young we were, you know.
I have the photo of you. When you hit your head at Club Bart.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a night, man. Holy
you
smokes.
Were, I believe you were leaving the stage. Is that how that worked?
I was.
You jumped
yeah.
off the staircase.
Well, I didn't necessarily jump. No? I was trying to skip down real quick because I was trying to get off stage because I bombed so hard. I remember the night was so weird.
Oh.
I think somebody went up before me and was just like trashing people. And then I went up and I was just trying to do material and
yeah.
they were just, the crowd was already pissed. And it was like, I was just trying to work through a couple of bits and like, you know, when you're still so new, I was like, I'm out of here. And I just,
right.
I basically tried to skip a step on the way down. I was like hopping down
yeah.
and I clipped my forehead
yes.
on where they had the sound equipment was
yeah,
like
it was
above
like,
the staircase.
It was like a rack with like a CD player on it and an amp
yeah.
to like play like background music. And the way this stage is, people don't remember Club Bart in Ferndale, the stage was behind the bar. And so you had to go up this kind of steep set of like 5 stairs to get up there. And it was very cramped. And, you know, yeah, if you were tall enough, you had to duck. And you just hit your, and the egg that formed on your forehead.
Yeah, man, that was a goose egg. I mean, that thing was there for probably like a week, and it had to be drained.
Getting
infected, and it was like a whole thing, man. It was like, I just remember clipping my head and then landing on my back on the steps. Because when I hit my head, I fell straight back, and I landed
yeah.
on the steps. So it was like my back was messed up, my head was all messed up. I was just like, oh, my
yeah.
God. But yeah, you have a photo of like literally minutes after that
yes,
happened
of the egg,
and it was
forming.
Already
mm-hmm.
it was already like a goose
yeah.
egg. It was already this big. I mean, it's kind of a terrifying looking photo looking back at it.
It is,
like,
but it's like a thing that when you were, I don't know how old you were when that happened, but you were in your 20s, right? So
yeah, I was probably 24.
Yeah.
I had to be 24, 25. Right.
But, you know, when you're 44 and you do that, it's like, we're going to keep you overnight for observation. You know,
exactly. It's game over, feet elevated, watching TV, eating through a straw for a couple of days. Well, for sure.
I fell. I slipped in the shower. And I thought I broke my hand. This is 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I'm still nursing this bad hand in this elbow that got smashed. It's like, what the hell's going on?
No, that's what it is, man. I this is so funny. We're just talking about ailments because we're old now. But I was doing I was playing Minnesota last week, and me and my lady had an early flight because I was doing the show that night, and we got up early, and I think we had an 8 o'clock flight, so we were up at six, and I'm groggy because I'm not a morning person, and I'm just gathering everything together, and I stubbed my toe so hard. Ooh. On my bed frame.
Oh.
And then, I was like, I think I broke my foot. I think my foot's broken. And, and we get in the lift and my foot is just like, I can feel it swelling. It's pulsating. I'm limping through the airport going through TSA. And I take my shoes off at TSA and I literally, it was dislocated. I dislocated my pinky toe, popped it back into place at TSA. Mm. And then limped through the rest of the airport. We got to the hotel. She ended up ordering me some like softer shoes to wear because I was wearing these boots. And then the whole show, I was like, I'm going to have to sit down the show because my foot hurts so bad. It just sucks being that old and not being able to bounce back. And the show's going to happen regardless. You got to get there. There's nothing you can do.
I couldn't
cancel and be like, I'm not coming. I mean, the show was that night. So I just had to follow through,
That's wild. Bed frame. You haven't figured that out.
What's that?
Make the bed frames out of something that won't break your toes.
Yeah, you figure, we live in a day and age, you can cover the frame too with Tempur-Pedic or something. We have Nerf or a pool noodle. I have to older adult proof my house at this point so that I don't get these kind of injuries.
But, I am senior proofing my bathtub.
Yeah, you gotta just start taking baths, man.
I'm 52.
Shower. Yeah, you gotta just take the baths, man. That's it.
I literally was working yesterday on the bathtub. I gotta put the bar in next. That's the next move. But my good. Anyways, let's talk about the comedy. You're at the Comedy Castle headlining this weekend. Mm-hmm. Going to be a great week. And let's talk about your history at that club. I mean, come on now. You've been weekend, but
it's been a minute since I've been there. I don't think I've worked there a weekend in about 6 years.
Really? Okay.
I always kind of miss the window for booking, which is fine. Everybody's got their own method for things, but sometimes things just slip your mind and then you're like, I missed the week to get in and put my avails in and stuff. So it's been a minute, but I'm excited to be back. I mean, I've always loved the club and, I've been fortunate enough too, where, just working with Bill Bouchard throughout the years, who's, kind of taken the reins over there that, he'll throw me stuff randomly, these showcases and things that for the graduating classes. And then the holiday party stuff that comes around, Christmas specials thing, he lets me close those out. So, that's generally when I see you is when I kind of dip in
and close out
the show when there's something special going on. So
it's
always fun to be back. And, it's the club that if you're a comic and you're working in Michigan or you're from Michigan, people are like, do you do Ridley's? That's the club that people revert back to as the one in Metro Detroit. That's oh, you're a legit comic. You headline the Comedy Castle. So it's definitely a benchmark in terms of just being a comedian from Metro Detroit. I'm happy to be back.
Right. And I'm looking at your calendar on social media. You are very busy and you are constantly on the go. You are constantly going for, are you in New York? Where is your home right now? Would you say?
My home right now is in New York. My fiance I'm currently in Troy. So my lady has two boys in high school.
Ah.
So they go to Troy High. They're about to finish up here. One's a senior, one's a sophomore. So they got a few more years. One of them's going off to college. So she's still here, but she works remotely. So she comes out to New York every other week. and stays with me. And I find myself back here regularly anyway, you know, like headlining the clubs and
that's good.
And doing stuff. So my stomping grounds right now is New York City as of June of this year. So I've been there.
That's great.
Which has been great. Yeah, it's been great. It's been you know, it's different out there. The pacing is different. Comedy is different out there. Everyone's faster, more concise. It's right. You know, it's like do or die. So
and you're doing shorter sets, I would take it in most cases.
Yeah, I mean, I think the longest set I think I've done out there is like a 15, you know, because that's the thing out there, all the shows, and there's so many that, you know, they put up six comics, everyone does 15, mm-hmm. and you never know who you're going to follow. I think I followed Seinfeld probably five or six times, you know, and it's just, it is what it is, man.
Because that's
who's there, you know, again. Seinfeld, I followed Gaffigan, George Wallace, you know, all these legends and stuff. It's just like you never know who's going to drop in on a show. Judah Friedlander, you know, Mark Norman, Joe List, you know, all these people who've just popped and done really well. It's like they can drop in at any moment. So you've got to be locked and loaded and ready to go at every show. So
it's
been a challenge, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I look it at makes it more you better. Of a challenge. I mean, whether you know it or not, right? I mean, I think it makes everyone better.
Yeah, you know, you really learn to just kind of cut the fat in your act. And as someone who's, you know, been headlining for a really long time, that transition has been somewhat of a challenge for me to like do these like, you know, 10-minute sets or maybe it's a seven over here, but you're following, you know, Seinfeld going as long as he wants. He might do 20 and then you're doing a seven after him. And it's like, how am I going to be able to, you know, get this audience to switch gears and get a few good pops off before, mm-hmm. you know, my time runs out. So it's been fun just to kind of tinker with my act and just pull bits and really piece together a 7-minute set or a 10-minute set after following somebody who's just an absolute legend.
Yeah.
You know, but still get across, you know, who I am and what makes me funny. So I feel like I'm kind of existing in these two worlds because I still go out and headline shows where I'm doing an hour.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'm there and it's like, all right, maybe I'm just doing six tonight. Maybe I'm doing seven. Maybe I'm doing 10. Maybe I'm doing five. And you never know until you get to the club. So,
but that's part of becoming a good comic is learning how to just do whatever they tell you to do and fitting that in. And I teach that in comedy class. And new comics have such a problem with that thing about, well, how long is the set? I go, well, I said it was going to be seven, but it's going to be six. And then they just, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things you kind of have to keep, you know, on the back burner. Like if your time does change, all right, if I have an extra minute, I can pop off this one. If I have an extra 3 minutes, I can do these two jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what it is too, is realizing, you know, hey, maybe underthink it a little bit in terms of if you're doing 5 minutes, right for four. That way, if you get an applause break or if you get a big laugh, that's going to chew up some time, and you got to give yourself some time to breathe too. You got to give the audience time to breathe.
Yeah, that's great advice. I try to teach that, and it's so hard.
those pauses, like, because the whole idea is to go up and kill. So if you have a bit you know is a killer bit, it's like give yourself that breath so that the audience can follow you. I think a lot of, and you know, I'm guilty of this too sometimes where, you know, the nerves kind of kick in and you're like, I want to crush so hard, but you have to give yourself the pacing that's necessary for the audience to kind of breathe with you and get the laughs in where you want them and need them, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I've in following your career is that you have moved cities. You've been a Chicago comic, Denver comic, New York comic now. I think that's a really important thing for comics to do. I mean, not everybody does it and not everybody makes that jump, but let's talk about that first move, leaving Michigan and where you went and how that went for you.
So that was, you know, once when I was here, you know, when I started here, I was doing, you know, Club Bart all the time. I was working Joey's, I was getting work in Grand Rapids. And, you know, a lot of that was attributed to, again, Bill Bouchard, who was vouching for me in places. And I was working Canada a lot because it's so close to Detroit. Mm-hmm. Once I kind of got my feet about me here and I felt like things were stable, you know, I was working as an EMT when we first met in Detroit.
Yeah, okay,
So I was like writing jokes in an ambulance, like, you know,
yeah.
and working 12-hour shifts overnight. And, you know, and then going to Club Bart when I, you know, every chance I could. And I was trying to gobble up as much stage time as possible. And then, you know, once I kind of got in with, you know, the now, I don't want to say defunct Funny Business, but I mean,
they're still around.
I know they just hit me up yesterday. They had so many rooms.
They had
rooms scattered across the Midwest that could book you 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
So when I started working for them and I was like, okay, I'm able to kind of quit my job on the ambulance. I can do this full time. Chicago seemed like the next progressive step for me out of Michigan because it was still close enough to home where I could take the train back here and work back here for fairly cheap. The travel was cheap, but there were so many independent rooms out there that just were just fire. I mean, there was so much going on when I got there. It was like, you know, Kumail Nanjiani and TJ Miller and, you know, just a lot of those guys were still there. I think Kanane had just moved to LA.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, there was already like a really developed scene there. So for me, it just seemed like the best progressive step to like get into a bigger scene with more stage time and kind of more comics that were kind of at the same level I was, where I could build off of that and then work the road for, you know, Funny Business and a few other companies that had a bunch of accounts and rooms all over the country. So it was a little bit more centrally located too. Like I could head up to, I could hit to Wisconsin and I could hit Indiana and I could hit Ohio and I could hit Minneapolis and, you know, and those places all had great clubs and great scenes too. So it was a little bit easier for me to just kind of hit that belt of the Midwest from Chicago to be able to go up and down from there. It just made more sense to me and it was great. I mean, I was, by the time I left, I think I was like, you know, closing the Laugh Factory every night that I was in town Monday through, you know, Thursday on top of doing, you know, smaller bar shows and stuff every night, all of them paid. And then Thursday would hit and clubs would do Thursday through Saturday, sometimes a Sunday. So I would go off on the weekend and headline and then come back. And, you know, I was making money every night of the week just doing stand up, which is really the only thing that we all want. We just want to be able to make a living doing it. So it just made more sense. I had to start from the bottom.
Yeah, that's the thing that, you know, but you have, but people must have seen you and been like, because I think that's always the thing when you see people. We've had comics move to Michigan that are like, you know, like Drew Harmon's a guy and, you know, somebody, and you meet him and you go, oh, well, this guy's awesome. Where were you been?
Yeah.
Oh, I just moved here in my day job, or my wife had a job and we moved to Michigan. And you're like, well, let's use you right away. Like, it really helps you because I think sometimes your hometown always thinks of you as, you know, the open micer or the guy, the opener. And then you go to some town and you're so funny. And it's just like, well, let's put you on the top of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I've been lucky enough to have that happen almost, you know, everywhere that I went, with the exception of maybe Los Angeles, which was, you know, because I moved from Chicago to L.A. I ended up getting passed at the Laugh Factory almost immediately because I'd been closing the Laugh Factory in Chicago.
That's nice.
You know, so, but it's such a huge market there and there's so many like celebrities and stuff that, you know, that do shows, that was a little bit of a struggle for me. And I didn't stick around too long because I was so antsy just to do shows. And I had been, and I just came from Chicago where I'm doing three shows a night.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I got one or two a week, I was like, this isn't enough. Like, this isn't enough for me to like maintain the pace of writing and putting out material and testing out material that I need in order to go on the road and headline and feel comfortable with these new ideas. So, you know, I did what I did out there and I was, you know, I worked as hard as I could, but it just, I couldn't really find the ends of where I needed to out there. So I didn't stick around that long. It wasn't for me. I didn't really care for it. And that's fine. I think that's an important thing to know too. You know, if you get to a place and you put enough time in, I mean, I was there 4 years and at the end of it, I was just like, you know what, this isn't my spot. This isn't my place. Like I did it. I can say I did it. I got a few things out of this, you know, I had a couple pops here and there, but at the end of the day, it just, for me, I wasn't getting out of it what I feel like I was putting into it. And I just wanted to be, in a market, in a place where, you know, I felt comfortable enough to just go out every night and be able to get spots and work. So that's when Denver came into play.
Okay.
So it was Denver after that. And then Denver was so good to me. It was just insane. I mean, I don't know if you've been out there. I highly recommend anyone go out there. Right. Who's a comic. We just had Ellie Howardell come out. And I mean, she's so funny.
Love Ella. She was one of my students, Ella.
Yeah, I mean, Ella came out, and I run a show out there at Comedy Works. I had her on it. She ended up winning the whole thing because it's like a contest show.
Okay, yeah.
I was so happy that she came out and just saw the scene and just like crushed, and she loved it. I mean, there's so many good shows out there. There's so many good comics. Every independent show's run and produced really well. They all pay. I mean, that's a scene right there. I think it's one of the most underrated scenes, honestly, in the country. I mean. There's just so much going on, and like the vibe out there is cool, and all the comics are just smashers. I mean, they're so good. So
yeah, we just had Sam Talent move to Michigan, and I talked to him a lot about Denver when he was at the club and stuff. And
yeah, Sam's the best, man. Sam's great. I mean, he's killing it right now. I'm proud of that dude. He deserves it too. I mean,
he does.
You talk about a guy who's just, you know, just a juggernaut on stage in terms of his presence. And he's just so quick and so funny. And he's so smart. I love that dude.
Yeah. Sam's great. And anyway, let's get back to Comedy Castle this weekend. What do you got for us? What's new? What's going to be in the act? What can people look forward to?
I'm right now, I'm trying to write my ass off just so I have new stuff. I feel like, you know, I've been lucky enough to be able to come back here, you know, a couple times a year, and people are starting to just come see me again, whether it's in Ann Arbor or one night stands or, you know, just doing a one-off somewhere at the Roxy or something like that, you know? So it's like, I'm writing my ass off just to try to have new stuff for everybody that keeps returning. So, you know, I've been talking a lot about, you know, being engaged and the fact that my lady has two boys, and, you know, I never wanted kids. So I'm kind of in this predicament where it's like, I have to be this sort of like father figure, but all I've ever done is comedy. You know what I mean? It's been 22 years of me living out of a bag and just traveling all over the place. So it's a very different life that I'm leading right now than I did, you know, early on, even, you know, 10 years ago. So,
but you know, I don't think, and you tell me, I mean, looking back on, you know, my life as a comic or just my life in general, I go, I don't want to go back to that, man. I lived with a roommate. I did, you know, that whole thing. And when I bought my house, I was renting to other people who were living with me. And it's like, I don't want to do that. I'm getting married in March, dude. I'm happy.
Congrats, dude. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Getting married in March.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's just you get to you find the pacing that's comfortable for you with your life, and how you can still be creative and work, and you find different things that inspire you, and you try to be as creative as you can with those things. And, you know, getting older, you start to relate to you know, everyone else going through the kind of same changes that you are. So I would dread doing like a college show at this point. Like I don't think I would do well with college kids at all at this point, just because my life has changed so drastically. You know, so it's been fun to kind of see the audience change for me, like the people that come out and like, you know, the like we'll be on vacation and stuff. We'll go on vacation to like an all inclusive and things like that. And we'll end up meeting people from Michigan, even the Metro Detroit area. And like, you know, and some of them are old, like way older than us, you know, they're like 20 years our senior. And like, you know, we just hit it off with them and just chewing the fat in the pool or whatever. And it's funny because then I start seeing them at shows and stuff like that. And they really like appreciate just who I am. I'm not exactly their age, but, you know, I feel like I'm talking about real life and, you know, things they can relate to, even if it was in their past. Like they know the journey and they understand where I am in my life. So it's like, it's been really cool just to kind of see the dynamic change a bit. Nice. But I'll probably be doing hospice shows here soon.
Well, I mean, there's an audience for that too. Hey, they got money. You got a budget.
And they can't go anywhere. Perfect. I know I'm not going to walk the room.
You got we got five shows coming up with Mike this weekend, and there's even a private show in there too. So not part of the five, but we'll be seeing a lot of each other that day.
Yeah, man. That's a 1 p.m. show. I'm doing a private show at 1 p.m.
Yeah, well, it is. Hey, we'll do that. Hey, if you want a private show with the comic, call the Comedy Castle, 248-542-9900. You come in. We'll come in at 2 at 1. I'm coming in at noon or whatever I'm coming in at to set it up. We'll have a good time. Nothing hits harder than 1 o'clock comedy.
Well, thank God the Comedy Castle doesn't have windows. Because you ever done a show in daylight?
Like, oh, sure.
It just feels so awkward. It's like, this isn't supposed to be taking place right now.
That is true. Hey, man, people are going to be happy to be at a party. They're happy to watch you and enjoy it, man. Come on. This is the holiday. They always say, for people that don't realize the comedy business, holiday time is the comic's best time. Because of these kind of private shows and that stuff.
Absolutely.
Make that money. Christmas parties.
Yeah, and it's also fun just to have another one under your belt.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, I always like, taking out chunks of my act and replacing it with other chunks. So it's like, it just gives you more, a little bit more room in terms of just like playing with what you want to do throughout the week. So I'm excited to do it. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, so by the time you get to Friday night, you'll have two under your belt.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's where I need to be.
Well, last week we didn't have a Thursday because of Thanksgiving, and it was kind of like, and I said to Brian McCree, I go, yeah, you didn't have that Thursday to get it out of your system. He's like, yeah, that's different. He did great. Brian's amazing.
He's so funny, but it is that thing. It's like you like to get a couple under your belt before like the weekend crowds show up because you really want to be on point. Because, the thing now too is like, I feel like even after the pandemic, it's still one of those things where, maybe a lot of people are doubling down on work, and especially with, finances being what they are for everybody, that, not a lot of people get to go out. So it's like everyone's drinking and they're drinking heavily. So you really have to kind of be on your A game in terms of just keeping everything on the rails. So it's nice to have that Thursday under your belt, you can kick the tires a little bit and then just hit the gas when the weekend comes.
Yeah. You get Thursday and you're that was really good. We just need some more people. And then Friday comes and you're like, all right, here we go. So
right, it's exciting, man.
Like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. We'll see you Thursday night and then all weekend. Come check out Mike, people. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a great time.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, man. We'll see you, Mike. Take care, buddy.
We'll see you.
All right, man.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
All right, Mike. Thank you. That was fun. Enjoyed talking to Mike. He's got a real perspective on things. Age gives you wisdom. It gives you perspective. His experience gives him perspective. He brings that all to the Comedy Castle stage for you this weekend, and it's going to be a great time. And then, of course, the Advanced Comedy Class Showcase is Wednesday night. I really encourage you guys to come out to this one. It's going to be special. I'm hosting it. I got great guests. I might even have a little furry friend come out on stage with me. Maybe. Might see Baxter at the show. I think that's going to happen. Anyhow, it's going to be a great night. I want you all to come out. And if you're interested in the comedy classes, January 11th is the next advanced comedy class after this group wraps up. January 11th, that's Saturday at 12:30. And if you want to do the beginner class, you've never done stand-up comedy and you're thinking about it, call the Comedy Castle, 248-542-9900. We've got beginner classes with Bill Bouchard, who you heard mentioned by Mike several times in the interview. Bill helps a lot of comics out, so you gotta know Bill. No better way than taking the beginner 101 comedy class at the club. He's got sessions on Saturdays and Mondays. But again, call the club, 248-542-9900, to sign up for the classes. And thank you all for listening. I had a really fun talk with Mike. It's going to be great to host the show on Wednesday with everybody. So come on out to the Comedy Castle. We'll see you over there. All right, guys? All right. Bye-bye.